Well, turn in your Bibles, please, to the second book of Kings, and we're going to read the first six verses. You'll recall that Elisha is the servant of the Lord. He's the man of God, and through these past few chapters, he's been living in the kingdom of Israel. He's been ministering to a people who, on the whole, are disbelieving. God has his people there, and there have been a number of miracles that Elisha has worked to demonstrate the grace and the mercy of God that should have drawn the hearts of the people of God back to God. And here we come to really the conclusion. Some see this as an appendix to this series of miracles that Elisha has worked. These six verses reintroduce us to a woman that we've met before in chapter 4. Listen to God's word as we read these verses. Then Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, "Arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine, and furthermore it will come upon the land for 7 years." So the woman arose and did according to the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines 7 years. It came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. Then the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, "Tell me, please, all the great things Elisha has done." Now it happened, as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life, that there was the woman whose son he had restored to life, appealing to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, "My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life." And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, "Restore all that was hers, and all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left the land until now." May God bless the reading of his word. Well, we continue through this book of Kings, and to many, this is sort of a dusty portion of the Bible. It's a lot of stories of things that happened long ago, and yet these are important for us, and we always need to put our, what some people might call our theocentric spectacles on. That is a God-centered set of glasses through which we would see these stories, because God gives us these accounts because they reveal your God to you. And it says God's word is revealed to us that we have strength to know him and to grow in him and to walk with him. And so we come to this passage. And what is it that we see from this passage? Well, if you were listening, you might have noticed there was one word that appeared four times. And it actually comes from a couple of different words in the Hebrew language. It appears five times in this passage. That word is restored. Restore or restored. And you see at the beginning of the story that Elisha has come to the woman whose son he restored to life. And what is it then that we see happens for this woman? Well, she's sent off in the midst of famine. And she returns. And what is it we see happens in verse 6? Well, the king says, "Restore all that was hers, and all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left until now." Well, the Lord, as we see from this passage, is a God that you can trust to restore you to himself. He's restored before. And the Lord is the one who will restore again. Now, you might remember this woman from chapter 4. This is a woman who had cared for Elisha. She was known to be one who was quite wealthy. And she had put on an addition to her house so that the man of God, the prophet, could stay. And one day, he came to her and said, "What is it you need? I'll petition the king for you. Is there anything you can use?" And you remember her contented response. She said, "I dwell among my own people." She was perfectly satisfied with everything that she had. But Elisha noticed that she didn't have a son. She didn't have children. And so the Lord miraculously in her latter years gave her this son. And what happened then? Well, that son was in the field one day, and the son fell ill and died within a few hours. And through Elisha, the Lord miraculously raised that boy to life. The Lord had given her great joy, and he restored his life to this dear mother once again. Now, in the story, we see no reference to her son, or to her husband, rather. It may very well be that her husband had passed away. Her household is mentioned here, but the only characters we see referenced are the woman and her son. And what happens? Well, she loses her land because she leaves because of this famine that's coming, and she's destitute. This woman who was formerly wealthy is destitute when she returns and is forced to go to the king. And once again, we see that the reason for her trust in the Lord, that he would restore these things to her once again, is because he's a God who restores. And friends, he pleads with you to trust in him, just as we sang there in Psalm 15, to put all your trust in the Lord, because he's the one who has the power to restore what you have lost. Now, this book was written originally to people who were in captivity. They had been cast out of their land for 70 years. This woman only lost her land for 7. But for 70 years, those people were cast out of their land. And you think about how this passage of Scripture would have encouraged them to remain faithful to the Lord, to continue putting their trust in him and to continue acting upon his word. And these are times of great uncertainty for many of us. We've talked about it before. It's a time of economic uncertainty in our land. Will we in 7 years have the things that we have now? Who knows? And our whole culture is talking about all of this, but we have this passage of Scripture, friends, and it's given to us to cause our focus to be pointed back to the Lord. He's the one who has acted in the past, and he's the one who works all things together for his people so that they might have everything that he wants them to have. This passage is to be for you, friends, an anchor for your soul. Well, if we're to believe and to trust that the God who has restored in the past will restore again in the future, what is it that the Lord wants us to see from this passage? Well, there are three things I think that he wants us to see. And the first is that he wants us to trust his word. He wants us to trust in his word. We see that that's what the woman is called to do here. And there are really two parts of this in the first two verses. The first is that she listened, and the second is that she acted on the word of God. Now, it's perhaps obvious that she listened. Elisha, who speaks in God's name, comes and he says, "Arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine, and furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years." This woman received the word of the Lord, and she was to hear this word. She was to hear this word because she knew that it came from a reputable source. God had restored before, and his word was good. And there's not one of you that's here today, not one single person that cannot say God has not been good to you in the past, that he has not given you many good things. He's given you your life, if nothing else. And that ought to encourage you to remember that he's been mindful of you before and that you ought to trust him for the future. Well, the Lord comes and he tells this woman that there's a 7-year famine that's coming, and we're not exactly sure if this passage is in chronological order. There are a couple of other famines in these last passages we've been looking at in 4, and then in chapter 6 there was a time of hunger. We're not exactly sure when this passage came, but we know that God promised to this woman that there would be 7 years of famine. Now, from everything we see, this famine was yet future. The woman was living in comfort. Remember what she said earlier? She said, "I have everything I need. I dwell among my own people." And yet God tells her there's going to be this time of famine that comes. And the question is, would she trust in the Word of God at that point? Would she listen to the words of Jesus Christ through the prophet Elisha? Sometimes it's easy for us to say, we'll trust God when life is difficult. But what about when life is easy? Will we hear His Word even then? When we're comfortable, are we ready to listen? Well, this woman clearly was. She heard the Word of the Lord. And the Lord gave her this advanced warning, and the Lord doesn't speak to us today in this kind of a way. He doesn't give us this kind of advanced warning as to what will happen in the specifics of your life. But He still speaks His Word through what is written here into your life so that you will know what to do in the various situations of life. What God was calling her to do here was going to turn her life upside down. It's going to turn her son's life upside down. The question is, would she obey? And the question for you is, will you obey God's Word even when you know that obeying His Word and trusting Him is going to turn your life upside down? You think about what she was being called to do. She's being called to walk away from her home. She's being called to walk away from her farm. She's being called to uproot her son out of his local school system, his network of friends, all of these comforts of life that they knew. They were being called to leave these and to trust the Lord. You see, believing the Lord, trusting in Him, remembering what He's done in the past, doesn't make trusting Him in the future easy. It makes it essential, but it doesn't make trusting Him in the future easy. We may have experienced a great number of God's blessings in the past, but every day when He calls you to faith, it's a new challenge, isn't it? It's a new challenge to trust His Word and to listen to Him day by day through all of the new challenges of life that come. Well, if we're going to trust in this God who has rescued before, we need to love His Word. And this woman delighted to hear this Word which would be her life. And the question for you is, do you love God's Word? Do you want to read it? Do you want to hear it? Do you want to see it applied to your life? Do you have it as the topic of your discussions? Do you have it as the topic of your discussion over lunch as we gather week by week? Is it a mere formality in your life, or is it the very heartbeat of your life? Well, the Lord was working all of these circumstances in this woman's life because He knew that she needed to grow. She needed to grow in her trust of Him. There's a sense in which perhaps she'd learned the lesson of contentment. We saw that in terms of this woman's response. She dwelt among her own people. She didn't need anything. But the Lord now was pressing her to grow in other areas of life. When a famine came, would she trust Him then? Would she listen to His Word? The Lord wants you to grow through trusting His Word in whatever circumstances of life you find yourself. Well, as you think about the year 2009 and commitments you might make to the Lord, is the Lord calling you to a deeper love of His Word? Perhaps a deeper study of it? Perhaps you've never read the whole Bible, or perhaps never read through one of the Testaments, the Old or the New. Perhaps that's the sort of commitment that the Lord would have you to make so that you, like this woman, can be one who listens to the Word of God. And just one other aside then, as we think about what it means to listen to God's Word, note that Elisha was one who spoke the Word of God. These were loving words, and we need to be a people who not only hear God's Word, but we're also ready to speak it with love. This was a word that would spare this woman's life and the life of her son. And we carry those same words, don't we? We're a people who have listened to them, but we also carry them, and others need to know them. Well, as we think about her need to trust in the Lord, we see first that she listened, but secondly, we see that she acted on this word. She didn't simply hear hard words, and young people, I want you to get this. She went ahead and she did the hard thing. She did the thing that was not easy to do. She didn't just talk about it. She didn't just listen. But she took action. She picked up and she left. And the interesting thing to note here is that God didn't tell her exactly what to do, did he? Look again at verse 1. She was to go, she with all her household, and stay wherever she could because of this famine that the Lord had called. The Lord didn't give her specific direction. She had to figure out how this would be applied. And we see in verse 2 that she took action by going to the land of the Philistines. She went a number of miles away to a different land where her life and the life of her son was preserved. These actions that she undertook took wisdom on her part. They caused her to look at her situation in life, the needs of her son, and places where they might be provided for. She took action based upon the Word of God. And friends, that's what you're called to do if you're going to trust in the Lord. You have to not only hear His Word, but you have to see your lives changed by His Word. You have to actually get up and do. Get up and go. And see how it is that the Lord would have you to apply His Word. So the question for you is, as God calls you to trust in Him and to trust in His Word, are you ready to act on His Word against your own feelings? And so often we know what God wants us to do, but it's more comfortable to do something else. We know that God wants us to obey our parents, but it's a whole lot easier to do otherwise because I have another agenda today. We know that the Lord wants us to love our husband or to love our wife, and yet it's so much easier to deny God's Word and to go a different way because we want to watch the football game or because we want to do the things that we enjoy. That's not acting on the Word of God. That's hypocrisy. But we need to be people who are like this woman, who not only hear, but are then ready to act against our own feelings, to act against the pressure of our culture, which causes us to lust after the things of this world at every turn. The Word calls us to act against our own convenience, against our own ease, against the suggestions of others. Are you ready to act on the Word of God in light of all of those things in life? Well, this woman was. She was willing to do the hard thing. And one more thing to note about how she acted on the Word of God. We see in verse 3 that at the end of 7 years, she returned. Now, why did she return at the end of 7 years? Well, look back at verse 1. How long had the Lord said the famine would be in the land? 7 years. And she was willing to listen and to respond. She returned. She acted upon God's Word. Well, we see that this woman grew in her trust in God by trusting in His Word. We see, secondly, that if we're going to trust this God who has restored before and will restore again, that we need to trust that He'll work through His means. The woman comes back after these 7 years, and what do we see she does in verse 3? Well, she goes to the king to make an appeal for her house and for her land. If you leave your house for 7 years, what happens? Inevitably, someone else moves in, right? We don't know if it was other people who moved in. In our day and age, you leave your house for 7 years, at the very least, you'll have animals that move in. In this particular case, it may have even been the king who took this land for his own use. We don't know who took the house, we don't know who took the land, but we see that this woman came to the king to regain her property. Now you think about this. This woman had, in one sense, delighted in being self-sufficient, in not needing anything. But now where was she? Well, she was at the point of being destitute. She was at the mercy of others. She had to swallow her pride, her own sense of accomplishment, to be able to go to the king and ask for her land. The Lord was causing her to grow in her trust of Him by causing her to trust in the means that He uses to bring about His restoration. Well, She prepares to go to the king, and this is, of course, a legitimate function for the king to administer justice for the fatherless and the widow, to administer civil matters like this. And it was a good and appropriate thing for her to go to the king. And as you find yourself in various trials and predicaments of life, the question for you is, are you willing, when that time comes, to entrust yourself to the Lord's means? To swallow your own pride, the things perhaps that you have achieved by yourself for many years, and entrust that the Lord will use others to provide those things and to provide the means for those things to be given to His people. Well, she went to the king. And what do we need to do as the people of God? Well, we need to be people who are always going to the king, not simply trusting in physical resources, but going to the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even as we trust Him to use the means that He's placed in this world to provide for the things that we need. And we see that as she's trusting in the Lord's means and she does go to the king, a second thing that we get to see and enjoy about His means is we enjoy the process through which He works. This is a remarkable story as you see it picking up some steam there in verse 4. Just at this particular time, the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, who asks and says, "Please tell me all the great things that Elisha has done." Now, once again, we don't know chronologically exactly where this story falls. It's possible that this story came before Gehazi was made a leper and was no longer the servant of Elisha, or it's possible that this is after. But in any event, the king knew that Gehazi would know about the things that Elisha had done. And there seems to be a sense of curiosity on the part of the king, not real piety of heart. He was a wicked man, as we know, but he was curious about the things of God, and so he asks this servant of the man of God to tell what has happened. And we see in verse 5 then that it happened as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life, that there was the woman whose son he had restored to life, appealing to the king for her house and for her land. And you can see it. This man, the servant, practically loses his dentures at this point as he sees this woman coming up. He's right then telling the story, and she walks up as he tells the story. Evidence of what God had done. The woman's there, and her son as well. Imagine what a remarkable thing this was. And apart from trusting in God, what would you call this? Well, you'd call it a lucky break. But God doesn't believe in luck, does He? God had ordained that for the sake of this woman receiving the things that she needed, this story would be in the process of being told right when she walked up. Well, what a great God we serve. He works all these details of life out just so that His people will receive the things that they need. Well, we know that the king uses all kinds, that the Lord rather uses all kinds of things to cause the king's heart to be turned in the Lord's hand. The king's heart is like rivers of water that He turns wherever He wishes. And in this case, He was pleased to use this story to do it. And we've seen the Lord do the same sort of thing throughout biblical history and throughout our lives as well. You all have your stories, and one from my life is a car that we once had. It was a 1989 Crown Victoria that I purchased for $1, and it got us where we needed to go. And I loved that car, and Elizabeth was a little more hesitant about that car. It got me where I needed to go most of the time. There was one particular evening when the two of us were going out and we were going to meet some friends and we were going through downtown Indianapolis, cruising along in that great vehicle, when all of a sudden we were on I-70 East, just heading out of downtown, and part of the suspension went. And we were on the side of the road, and it was perhaps against my better judgment to take the car instead of the other vehicle. And it was cold, and it was raining, and it was a driving rain. The temperature was somewhere in the 30s. And wouldn't you know, the Lord was pleased at that very moment, about five cars behind us, to have one of our friends who was headed to exactly the same location not only be behind us, but see us and pull over and be able to help us. Luck, huh? No. This is the way the Lord works to provide for His people. And He delights to do it in the most surprising and amazing ways, just as He did for this woman. And He's put this story here, and He's given you all of those stories in your life just so that you'll be reminded all over again and that you'll long to put your trust and your faith in Him as you see these great and mighty things that He does. And you know, He doesn't just do them once or twice, but He works through His providence day by day to provide for our needs. One other example of it that came this week. You know that our brother Nathan Curtis is down in Fort Jackson, and he's there in boot camp, and he's nearly done by God's grace, and he'll be going back again in January. And I was talking with a pastor friend of mine this week who's a wonderful man, and the Lord has led him to go back into the Army as a chaplain this time around. And this is a man who deeply loves the Lord and is committed to His Word. I was talking to him. I said, well, where are you going to be going? He says, well, I'm going to be in Fort Jackson for about the 3 months starting in January. Now, is this a coincidence? No. It's not a coincidence that Nathan will have fellowship with this man and be able to serve there with him for these 3 months. The Lord knows exactly what His people need. And the Lord has the power to work out all of the details to make it happen. And when the Lord restores things to His people this way, when He gives us that which we need, we better never call it luck. Because when we do, what are we saying? We're saying, well, it didn't really come from the hand of God. We're saying it just happened upon us. And what does that do? Well, it takes glory and it takes honor and it takes majesty and splendor away from God in the eyes of others. We need to be a people who see the way that the Lord is working and delight in it. We trust and we believe His Word, but we also trust that He's the one at work in all the circumstances of your life to lead you exactly where He wants you to be. Well, the Lord was working in and for and through this woman by leading her to trust His Word and then to trust the circumstances through which He would work. And finally, he leads her to trust in Him by allowing her to enjoy the rewards that He gives themselves. You see, in verse 6, what happened? The king asked the woman, she tells him what had happened, which the story jibes with what the servant had said, and the king then appointed a certain officer for her, saying, restore all that was hers, and all the proceeds of the field from that day, from the day that she left the land until now. This woman, it's fair to say, received far more than what she expected. The Lord had been at work in her, leading her to trust in Him in new ways, and the Lord then gave far more than she even sought. The land was to be restored, and the house, plus all of the produce for the 7 years that she had been away. It is a remarkable thing. And isn't this a beautiful example of how, though it is a difficult thing to trust the Lord, it is not easy to trust Him day by day. You know this, and I know this. And yet it is a very fruitful thing to trust the Lord, isn't it? It will bear fruit in your life. Here, this woman gets her land and her home back. And we know that this earthly restoration of these physical things anticipates a restoration that is both spiritual and physical in the resurrection. The Lord had given this woman back these things as a reminder that those who trust in Him are going to receive an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled. we as a people are those who have lost much, haven't we? You can go through the list of perhaps physical things that you've lost. People in our neck of the woods can look at homes that they've lost, jobs that they've lost. And yet, the greatest tragedy is that we have lost our standing before God, our right standing in Adam's sin and in your sin. And yet, what is it that our God delights to do? Well, He delights to restore all that was lost and then some to those who will trust in Him. You believe that? Do you believe that He delights to restore all that was lost and then some in His Son, the Lord Jesus? I want you to notice here how it is that He gives her this reward. Look again at verse 6. Who is it that's doing this work of giving her back what was once hers? It's the king, isn't it? It's the king who's doing this work. Now, this was a wicked man who wasn't serving the Lord, and yet the Lord had appointed him to be king. And there are certain responsibilities that kings have because they're in places of authority. And who's the king that we serve? Well, the king we serve is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who was working here for this woman. And the Lord Jesus is the one who has made possible the restoration of our souls, the restoration of our bodies in the resurrection, because He Himself trusted Himself and trusted Himself to the Father in His life. The Lord Jesus is the one, as a prophet, who declares to us our salvation. And as a priest, He gave Himself up as that final sacrifice. He earned the ability by His sacrifice on the cross to give you everything that He gives you. And then as king, what does He delight to do? Well, what do kings have? They have power. They have ability. And we serve a Jesus now who isn't in heaven saying, I died upon the cross and I hope they come. But we serve a Jesus who's king, who says, I delight to restore what was lost to my children. This is the king that you serve. Now in the present, like with this woman, He's working on your heart. He's working on you to cause you to trust Him more. Perhaps you've trusted Him before. You've seen His goodness in your life before. The Lord tailor makes every trial, every situation of life to meet you where you are. Because until you reach glory, there's still more growing for you to do. There's still more trusting. And so as you look around at the places in life where things are being taken away from you, whether physical things or whether other kinds of things in life, you need to see that the Lord, just like He was working on this woman's heart, is working on you to draw you more and more to Himself. You see, this woman receives back her land. She receives back her home. Ultimately, she'll receive back her body in the resurrection. But what else did she receive? Well, she received a closer relationship with her God, didn't she? This restoration of all things isn't simply for the future. It's not simply something that comes in the resurrection. God is, through all the circumstances of your life, restoring to you now more than you've even asked for. What are the trials that you're going through? Well, it's in that that the Lord is giving you a deeper relationship with Him. He's causing you to see more and more your own sin and your need to trust and rely upon Him. Are you doing that in the course of trials and tribulations? There are always two ways to respond. One is either in doubt and cursing God for your problems, or the other is to say, Lord, obviously, there are things you want me to learn. There are ways that you want me to grow. How is that? Are you willing to pour yourself out upon the God who has restored before and will restore again and is working even now in your hearts to bring you back to Himself and to cause you to grow more and more? You see, the real inheritance that this woman received was not in the house. It wasn't in the land. The real way that God restores things to us is not simply through physical means. But what is the inheritance? Well, the inheritance is that He gives us Himself. And He gives us grace to partake of that now and for all of eternity. He wants us to receive this inheritance that He is giving to us, that He has restored to us all that was lost in Adam, in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He wants us as His people to seek that treasure to be restored to us, that treasure that He has promised to give us once again because of the work of Jesus Christ. So this story is given to you today to be an anchor for your soul. As you walk through trials and tribulations in life, you need to think about this woman. Think about this woman who lost everything and God took it from her. And why did He take it from her? So that she would be more filled with trust in Him. That she would be more drawn to Him. And what else does God want you to remember? Well, He wants you to remember that it's in His Word that His promises are made and then fulfilled. And that He wants you to trust Him through all of the circumstances of life. And to enjoy that which He has given to you. That which He has restored to you. A fellowship in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, which bears fruit now on this earth and through all eternity. Let's pray. Lord, You're the giver of life, and You gave this woman life to her son. You gave it back. And Lord, You're the one who gave this woman back her land. And Lord, we thank You that You gave her back so much more than that. And we confess to You, Lord, that we are a needy people. We are a needy people, both physically, we are a needy people spiritually. We are needy in every way. And You're the one who is good. You're the one who is powerful. You're the one who has the ability to restore that which was lost. Lord, we know that we're a needy people because we're a sinful people. And we confess that. And we look to the one then who restores by being sinless, the Lord Jesus. Thank You that He was willing, as the sinless one, to take our sin upon Himself, that He would put that sin to death so that we could be restored. And we thank You, Lord, that we, as Your redeemed people, have that great knowledge and comfort that You're changing us from the inside out, and that when we see You in glory, we will be in a better place than Adam ever was, because we'll be in a place where we can never sin again. Lord, we long for that day, and we plead, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen.